SkyDrive for the Mac. Dropbox makes sharing easy. CS6 a month away. Facebook is killing it in a new way to connect GPS devices to your iPhone. It's Tuesday, April 24th, 2012, and this is iWeek. I'm Tim Chatton, and this is what's going on in the Apple world today. Good morning, and welcome to another edition of iWeek. Kicking off the show today is some Mac news. First up, and there's quite a bit of Mac news, so let's get into it. First up is Microsoft releasing SkyDrive for the Macintosh. A couple things to note here. The app is not installed through the Mac App Store. It's through Windows Live download through that. So hopefully one day it does end up on the Mac App Store. Secondly, I did try to install this app, and I did install it. And I noticed a weird bug on the launch screen that tried to guess my name with all sorts of bizarre characters like Z87259F2. Like it thought I was a robot or something. And it had three different sets of weird characters with numerical numbers in there too. Kind of bizarre how it happened. So kind of buggy, I noticed, with just the launch of the app. SkyDrive, for those that don't know, is an online storage disk and service similar to that of iDisk or Box.net. And it's run by Microsoft. Originally, SkyDrive users got 25 gigabytes of free storage. However, with this launch of SkyDrive for the Mac, the company has reduced the free allotment to 7 gigabytes. Existing SkyDrive users may keep their 25 gigabyte plan by opting in, and any existing user with more than 4 gigabytes of used storage as of April 1st will automatically stay at that 25 gigabyte level. You can add 20, 50, or 100 gigabytes of additional storage for $10, $25, or $50 per year, respectively. Which pricing-wise is fairly good. SkyDrive is out now for iOS and the Mac and is an okay option for those that need some online storage. Meanwhile, Dropbox launched a new way to share files. In the past, you need to put all your files you want to share in your public folder. If you wanted to share a link to it, you had to have it in your public folder. You can now share files from any app right there in the Finder, in the iOS app, or the website. So it doesn't matter where it's located, you simply right-click it or find that little attachment icon and you'll be off and running. You won't need to update your apps for this functionality. It's baked into the app already, as the Dropbox team has been testing it for quite a while to make sure it's perfect. But now it's turned on, so you can use Dropbox sharing from any location in your Dropbox. Another Mac news is Intel launching some new processors dubbed Ivy Bridge. These processors are designed for desktop computers such as the iMac, and I'm not sure the Mac Pro. I'd imagine they'd be different processors. But they should work also in bigger laptops like the 15-inch and 17-inch MacBook Pros. So what's new in these processors? First off is power and efficiency gains, so battery life will probably get improved, and it's using Tri-Gate technology to make all of that happen, which I'm not quite sure what it means, except it's using three of something. I'm not quite sure there. Ivy Bridge will also benefit significantly from enhanced integrated chips, graphic chips, as compared to Sandy Bridge. So as many of you know, the MacBook Pros actually have two graphics chips in here. So it sounds like the lower end, the integrated ones, will be better, so you'll have less needs to switch to that dedicated chip, which will save your battery life considerably. And so that should be a big win there for MacBook Pro users especially. And this should also help with transcoding rates and things like that. Ivy Bridge will also bring security features and native support for USB 3, but there's no telling if Apple will actually implement that USB 3 support. Smaller versions of these chips are destined for the laptops, are expected to hit later this quarter. So hopefully some MacBook Pros can drop sometime soon because of this release. And later this spring, hopefully some MacBook Airs can get released with new Ivy Bridge for that device. Last up in Mac news today is Adobe announcing CS6's pricing and availability. The first thing to note here is the subscription pricing. So this is the first time Adobe's done this. So if you want the entire Creative Suite, you'll need to pay $49 a month to do so. And that's if you basically sign a contract to do so every single month of the year. That's the annual pricing. It'll be $79 if you just want to go month to month. So if you just want to use it one month, stop, go back and use it a few months later, it's basically $80 a month, which is quite a bit more than the $50 that you'd pay otherwise. All the versions that you'll buy outright don't include every app. Something I found really odd is the Master Collection that includes nearly every app does include Photoshop. I'm not positive about that, but it looked like from the graph it doesn't. It might actually include Photoshop Extended, which would actually be better. I have to double check that for you guys. The non-subscription pricing starts at $1,300 and runs up to $2,600. So it is a pro app, and if you're using this, you should be making money off of using this app, or you should just be a fairly wealthy person. There's other alternatives to Photoshop like Pixelmator and GIMP and things like that that are out there for those that don't want to spend that much money. The subscription service does include access to every app, but it also includes cloud storage for your files. So you'll get 20 gigabytes of storage to work with here, and you'll be able to pay for more storage. Photoshop, the most popular app in the suite, will also be available through a standalone subscription for $20 a month with an annual membership. That's annual membership pricing. So if you use it every month, it's $20, but if you use it month to month, it'll be $30. Adobe will also offer student and teaching pricing of the Creative Cloud for $30 a month, and current users of CS3, 4, and 5 will get a special introductory price of $30 a month for the entire suite. In the coming months, the Adobe team will launch a version of Creative Cloud for Teams, though that price has not yet been determined. So that'll be kind of a group membership where you can use one login for multiple users. So that'll be kind of cool when that comes out. Beyond that, you'll be able to sync your files through the cloud and edit them on mobile tools for the iPad. So you'll be able to upload your files basically as you do with like Dropbox and some other services that are out there and share them with clients and colleagues. And as I said before, you'll have 20 gigabytes of storage through that and additional purchase options coming soon for larger blocks of storage. CS6 is a pretty big update. The biggest update I've seen from me just looking down upon it as not a user of it is its fresh user interface. Photoshop got a new interface, as did Illustrator and many other apps. There's all sorts of cool feature updates too, and just heading over to Adobe's site for all of those details. And because of this user interface update, this may be one of the first times it may be usable for people like me that want a pretty app to look at, because Photoshop never really sat well with me, as did the old Final Cut never really looked pretty enough for me to use either. So it's good to see Adobe make this app more usable for more people. It'll be available within the next 30 days and should be out in Best Buy as well if they do a boxed version. Now on to some competitor news. First up is Verizon Wireless dropping the price of the Galaxy Nexus from $300 down to $200. So that's on contract. The off-contract price is the same at $649, and not much more to say here, except if you want this phone, it's now cheaper when you buy it on contract. Another news is Facebook's recent Q1's earnings report. So how'd the company do? Well, revenue is up considerably year over year, $1.06 billion versus $731 million a year ago. Net income is down a little bit from $233 million to $205 million. The lower profit is attributed to just about everything Facebook's financial sheet is showing us. So operating and administrative costs, marketing, and R&D have all gone up. Monthly active users of the service are reportedly now at 901 million. Up from the 680 million at the end of Q1 2011. So quite a bit of growth there. Of those 901 million, some 526 million are active on a daily basis, which is just staggering to realize. Also revealed was the Instagram's true purchase price. In cash, it was $300 million and then approximately 23 million shares of Facebook stock. At $1 billion, that would put these shares at around $30 a piece. So I'd imagine these shares will increase in value considerably over the years, and this $1 billion buyout will be worth a lot more to those involved in Instagram. So I guess congrats to those who got the shares. So there you go. That's what's up with Facebook. They're doing quite well. Closing out the show today is some iOS news. To begin, there's a new product from Red Park that allows stock non-jailbroken iOS devices to connect over the dock connector to GPS devices. This would be really handy for the iPod Touch, since that has no GPS at all. according to Red Park, the Red Park's GPS cable connects iOS devices to external navigation devices that use NMEA 0183 protocol. It's designed for use on the iPhone 4S, 4, 3GS, iPod Touch 4th generation, and iPad 2nd generation and 1st generation, and I'd imagine to work on the new one as well, but the site does not indicate that as of yet. The cable is compatible with location-aware iOS apps, including Maps and Compass, that are built into the iPhone. I'd imagine it would also work with apps like the TomTom navigation app or Navigon. The cable is 1 meter long and has a male DB-N connector and supports data rates of 57.6 kilobits and requires iOS 5 or later. The cable is available now for $59. Last of the day, I just wanted to mention that Apple now highlights iOS in the business. The new sites dubbed iPhone in Business and iPad in Business profile different businesses utilizing Apple devices. This is kind of similar to the page Apple put up a few days ago for Final Cut Pro 10, where they actually showcased people using that app in different situations. The sites are also showcased that you can make apps in-house, and these apps don't need to be distributed through the Mac app or the iOS app store. So Apple showcases that, yes, you can actually make your own apps in-house and give them to your employees to have some pretty cool workflows within your own office. The websites also showcase different workflows that you can put your own iPhones through from just stock apps that you'll find in the iOS app store. So pretty cool stuff. You can visit these pages by going over to www.apple.com/iPhone/business or apple.com/iPad/business. Well, that's what's going on in the Apple world today. If you like the show, and I hope you do, head over to iTunes to leave a review. And don't forget to subscribe to iWake Again over at iwakepodcast.com/again. Your support is badly needed for the show, and to continue on, I'd love if you could do so and get the Saturday show by signing up for iWake Again. Join me tomorrow for another edition of iWake. Aloha.